I think the final, I think there was a $250,000 budget line item for firefighter study. Was anything ever done or provided to the council? No?
I don't know.
No, but there was one budgeted, right? You guys budgeted $250,000 the last budget year, right? Did you get any report? No?
I don't recall getting a report.
Okay. Yeah, I think the final comment I want to make is, we got the school department over here looking for $40 million for a bond to fix the schools. We're talking about potentially bonding out tens of millions of dollars to build a new school. The decision that you make tonight is going to have an effect on whether you can do that. The last card this administration has in its deck is the ability to borrow. Because, you know, when your consultant came in about your five-year projection, what did he tell you? We got $240,000 on our credit card, right? But the credit agencies don't look at that. So we're looking good. And he even said that you could probably borrow up to $200 million. The question is, if you do that, you know, are you just kicking the can down the road to another set of council people and another mayor, and you're going to put this city into bankruptcy some year? You know, I don't want to see 20 years from now that a council's going to be sitting here and there's going to be a mayor in the front office saying, what the hell did those guys do? They passed a contract that they had no idea how much it cost. They have a one-page fiscal note that has basically nothing in it that tells you nothing. There's a 30% cost savings that the administration can't prove. You got contractual language here that says follow pension ordinances, and then when we go through the pension ordinances, oh no, that doesn't apply. Oh, we need to add an ordinance. Is that the way to do things? Is that the way to do business? If I did something like that in my job, I'd be fired because the defects would be piling up. And my managers would take a look at that, and you know what, Bob? You're not doing a good job. So all I'm asking you to do your homework. One other thing. We know the Tier 2 employees are going back to Tier 1, right, for pensions and health care. Can someone tell me the difference, because I'm on health care, what's the difference in benefits between Tier 2 and Tier 1 for health care?
I don't have the answer for that.
Does someone have the answer?
Mike? Repeat the question.
I want to know, if you ratify this contract, the Tier 2 employees hired, I think, after 2012 and after 2014 are going to be moved into the Tier 1 plan for pensions. You got an actuary report for that, right? That tells you the cost, right? I want to know the difference in benefits from Tier 2 employees that are being moved to Tier 1. I want someone to just give me a synopsis. What's the difference?
Does anyone have that?
This is amazing.
Bob. This,
this is unbelievable. What? I know the answer, by the way.
Sir, please. State your name for the record again, please.
Joseph Penza, the attorney for the Firefighters Union. Are you talking about
Mr. Penza, could you speak right into the mic, please?
Okay.
Speak directly into the mic.
Benefits? There is no difference. Health care is not addressed in the pension ordinance.
Tier 2 to Tier 1.
It's not addressed.
Isn't there lifetime health care benefits?
It's not in Tier 1 and Tier 2.
Is the spouse of the firefighter going to get the lifetime health care benefits under this contract that were originally in Tier 2? That's the question. I don't know.
Mike?
No, the lifetime health care is single only, not for the spouse.
Okay, so, Mike, stay at the mic, please. So what you're saying is if this contract is ratified, if the appeal doesn't go through in everything plays out the way it's been proposed, that the firefighters who go into Tier 1 from Tier 2 will not be receiving family lifetime health care.
What I'm saying is, because I just want to make sure I got your question correct.
Was that the question?
Everybody okay. in Tier 2 is single and not family.
Correct.
And,
but if they move,
give me
if
a second,
they move
I
back
am,
into
I am,
Tier 1, will that put them to lifetime family health care? That's the question.
No, no, that is not. They do not get lifetime family health care. That's not based on Tier 1 versus Tier 2. And if I'm wrong, someone please correct me. But it's my understanding that it's based on the date of hire. And at some point many years ago, any new hire after this date many years ago, family health care was taken away from them in retirement.
Yeah, I believe
and it
that
had
was
nothing
like
to do with Tier 1 and 2. Yeah, and it had nothing to do with Tier 1 and Tier 2. So,
okay.
No, they... Those employees that are part of the Tier 1, Tier 2 arbitration, it has no effect on their spouse getting okay. health care in retirement.
John, I'm hearing some chatter back there. Did you want to weigh in on this?
I'm trying to find the correct piece of paper, but my belief is that the first of all, you have to separate pension benefit from health insurance benefits. Because people move around they're separate anyhow. The benefits are separate. Health insurance for retirees in the FIRE 2 contract, whether they're in Tier 1 or Tier 2, I believe is single coverage until they reach age 65, and then they get the Medicare supplement plan.
So let me ask you a question. So we never had Tier 1, 2. We had Police 1, Fire 1, then we had Police 2 before 2012, right?
Say that again. There's a Police 1 and Fire 1. There's a Fire 2 pension plan
yep.
that has two tiers.
Okay, so...
And it's a pension plan.
All right,
it's
that's
got
pension.
Nothing to do with health insurance.
Maybe I'm getting confused, but wasn't there something in the contract for... The firefighters who were hired before 2012 had husband and wife lifetime health care when they retired.
I believe that was the firefighters covered by Fire 1 pension, hired because they were hired prior to that day.
You said you believe. We need to know an answer.
Well, if you give me time, I'll get an answer.
Okay.
If we had these questions ahead of time. Well, Bob, it's late at night. You come to the microphone, you ask questions, and you expect us
to go through all of this and come up with the answer. John, I'm sorry. I apologize if I gave that impression.
You give me enough time.
The administration should be able to answer that. There's no excuse here. We have a contract here that you're setting to ratify. You should know, is there any implication? All right, I said
Bob,
the question wrong.
There's two gentlemen behind you that will speak to that.
So I'll reiterate, the answer is no. There is no impact from that arbitration on what a retiree will get in terms of health care in their retirement. There is no impact. There is no such thing as Tier 1 and Tier 2 for health care. As the solicitor pointed out, it's a pension ordinance only. I will also note that in the prior contract, and it's in this one only because it's not redlined and it's not stricken, so it continues. This is not from this contract. This is the prior contract that was ratified. All employees hired on or after July 1, 2015, upon their retirement from service, either as a normal or non-job related disability retirement, the city shall provide only single coverage health insurance. So that covers all of the people that were part of that. That again, the Tier 1, Tier 2, had nothing to do with health care. It was strictly related to pension.
Tim?
That's absolutely correct. That's correct. It's
okay.
July 1st, 2015, single coverage in retirement. Nothing.
That's hired after July 2015.
Hired after July 1st, 2015, nothing to do with a pension.
So the arbitration ruling has nothing to do with the health care benefits?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
I know it's late. I'm going to make a few quick points with respect to matters that have been brought up, and I'll work in reverse order. With respect to the OPEB trust, I think one of the main things you have to realize is that this is at least a foot in the door to reduce the back healthcare expenses that are going forward. I can tell you, based on my years of experience, that unless this is negotiated into a contract, an arbitrator is not going to give it to you. So the firefighters here came forward in an attempt to assist the city, stood up to the plate, and said, we will address this. And now that, if it's passed, I'm sure the next thing that the city was going to do is go to the police union and the municipal union and try to get the same concessions. But unless it's agreed upon, very seldom will an arbitrator touch any pension benefits. Secondly, with respect to the OPEB trust, it is governed by Internal Revenue Law, the Internal Revenue Code, so that there are certain things that are going to have to be in the trust itself. What is intended to set forth in the contract is that in addition to the mandates of the federal law, these are the other provisions the parties agreed. It may very well be, and I'm not an OPEB trust expert, that the OPEB trust by law may require that deductions be made for each pay period and deposited into the OPEB trust for each pay period. And finally, with respect to the OPEB trust, that general language is invested and managed. It's not intended to mirror the pension. It's a different animal altogether. But the pension funds are invested by your administrator. It will be done the same way, presumably. It's managed. They'll present reports to you every quarterly or however frequently it is done. That's the investment and management aspect of it, not that it's supposed to mirror the pension ordinance. On the question of substitutions, it was implied that maybe the city is getting beat for money because somebody may have 27 days that they swapped out and they walked out the door with those 27 days. That has no impact on the city. That's between the two firefighters. So if somebody walks out the door with 27 days that they didn't pay back, they just shortchange their fellow firefighter. They take care of that themselves. There's never a problem with that. Very sensitive issue, and I know it's always been tossed about for the last year and a half, so I'll bring it up, the so-called side agreements. Typically, when there is a dispute over a contract provision, there is one of two ways to resolve it. You go to arbitration and let the arbitrator decide, or you attempt to resolve it by negotiating with the parties. And with respect to this particular provision that dealt with the payment of sick days, the contract language was, in fact, unclear. And so in an effort, and the city was going to act one way, and the union said, no, that's not the right way, so there was going to be a grievance filed. But instead of filing a grievance, the parties came to an agreement, and they entered into a memorandum of agreement, which is a resolution of an arbitration and a grievance dispute. So that happens every day of the week. Now, how the memorandum of understanding was interpreted ended up being a big dispute, but there was nothing like nefarious about this. It was a resolution of a potential grievance, and that's how we got to where the resolution was resolved by a memorandum of agreement, and that led to other problems. But there was nothing that anyone tried to sneak something by someone, particularly the council. And finally, on that same issue, with respect to the 2012-2015 and 2015-2018, neither myself, Mr. Augusto, or Mr. Bliss were here when that contract was approved by the council. And I understand, I've never done it this way, but you would get a memorandum with all the key bullet points, and then the parties would go back and write the contract. That's why it took 6 months sometimes between the time the council, quote unquote, approved the contract and the final contract was signed. The problem is that there was never anything, at least from what I could see, and I just got into this when I was engaged by the Firefighters Union to represent them in the grievance. And then I started gathering documents because I was concerned that maybe it was an oversight, maybe that it was in the TA that was presented to the council and approved. If you look at those TAs, or the memorandum that was submitted by the solicitor and look at all the bullet points, you will not find anything related to the fact that Tier 2 was going to be incorporated into the collective bargaining agreement, nor did you see anything where the benefits or the reduced benefits from Tier 2 were in their way to the contract. So when the document was presented to the council, there was nothing about Tier 2 in both contracts. Now, whether I don't know what was represented to the council at that time by the solicitor, but all I can tell you is the written documents don't have anything. I misspoke. The 2015-2018 proposals or the approvals that the city council made did mention Tier 2, only with respect to the contribution, nothing with respect to the reduction in benefits. Someone tonight said, well, it's in the 2015-2018 contract. The mere fact, and Mr. Agosta alluded to this, the mere fact that there's a passing reference to Tier 2 doesn't mean that everything that's in Tier 2 gets into the contract unless it specifically says that, and it doesn't. So with respect, I just thought that that was important to clear up. People have been saying, well, we got bamboozled, it got snuck by us, not by any written documents that were produced that I've seen. What was represented, I don't know. And the final thing is, the firefighters certainly had nothing to do with this, absolutely nothing. It was your solicitor that presented you with the final contract to sign. The solicitor prepared it, not the union.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman.
Members? Sir?
I think the city solicitor wanted to respond to that.
Okay.
No. Council solicitor, he meant.
Oh.
With due respect to my brother Joe, in the 2015-2018 tentative agreement, and what used to come before the council was the tentative agreement that had been signed by the mayor and the union president. In 2015, that tentative agreement contained a provision referencing Tier 2. And in the actual contract for that period, there is a section that was included regarding pension payments and distinguished between the amount of contributions for people in Tier 1 versus people in Tier 2. And the provision in the tentative agreement said that the contributions would be based on actuarial reports. And because the ordinance had been enacted back in 2011, there had been annual actuarial reports that contained the information about contributions. Did not mention benefits, but it did reference Tier 2 and contributions. I'm just clarifying the record. It's not that there was nothing there. There was something there in that 2015-2018 negotiated contract.
Just to summarize, John, I know we've been talking a lot about the 2012 contract, but the 2015 to 2018 contract, what you're telling us was there was not only an ordinance in place, but there were negotiated changes, obviously I was here, that specifically stated that those employees would be in Tier 2. I think you actually wrote a memo to us on this. And I think that was part of Mr. Augusta's dissent too, that the second contract had everybody in Tier 2. Is that?
I'll read it specifically. The 2015-2018 contract in Article 14, Section 1, it's entitled Pension Payments. Subsection B says in Tier 1, each member who is an employee, the amount of the member's contribution shall be adjusted to one-third of the annual contribution rate for Tier 1 determined by the actuary in accordance with Section 20-242, paren C. In Tier 2, each member who is an employee, the amount of the member's contribution shall be adjusted to one-third of the annual contribution rate for Tier 2, determined by the actuary in accordance with Section 20-242, paren C. The actuary shall evaluate Tier 1 and Tier 2 as a single fund for the purpose of determining the pension contributions for the city, the two-thirds share of the total, but shall determine separate employee contribution rates for members of Tier 1 and Tier 2, reflecting one-third of the difference in the value of the benefit being provided under this plan for the two tiers. There are no other provisions in that contract referencing the differences between Tier 1 and Tier 2, but the contribution levels were different, and the actuaries were determining those contribution levels on the basis of the benefits that were in the ordinance. I mean, I've seen the actuarial reports.
I have also, and I would agree with you, but you agree with me that none of the other Tier 2 benefits are set forth either by reference or by specific notations in that document that was presented.
What I read to you is the only reference that's right in there to Tier 1 and Tier 2, okay. But there was a reference, not that that document had no reference to Tier 2. That's right. What I wanted to clarify.
And I thought I did say I misspoke, and I corrected myself because I remembered the contribution. So you and I are in agreement with that.
I think we're all in agreement that contract language should be very clear so we don't get in this situation again. Thank you.
Is there any other comments or questions from members of the public? Councilman McAllister?
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Oppose. Vote stands 2 yes, 1 no. The Warwick City Council Finance Committee is adjourned.
The school committee.
Oh, that's true. Okay, we're going to go back to the school committee.
Good evening, Philip Thornton, Superintendent. As you recall, council members, we were here last month talking about the voter-approved $40 million.
Superintendent, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, for clarification, we did do a vote favorable to the floor with no recommendation.
True. True.
Is it the committee's wish not to hear?
Do you want to hear
regarding the bond referendum from the school department? Because we can't hear it.
They've been here for quite a while.
I respectfully agree with that comment that they've been here a while. I just wanted to make sure that we have all our ducks in a row.
Need advice on how to allow this testimony to proceed.
Motion to reconsider.
We have a motion to reconsider.
Seconded.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, go ahead.
Thank you. As you recall, last month we were here in front of the council talking about the voter-approved $40 million bond. Last time we were here, we took you through what we did in last summer's projects and walked you through what would happen next summer. Just to review again for the council again for next summer, the highlights of the release would include 7 fire alarms, and that would take care of all the fire alarms in the district that need to be taken care of, 5 abatement projects, 5 ADA projects, 7 playgrounds, 4 roofs, totaling a bond effort of $9.8 million. As you recall, RIE now has something called pay-as-you-go, where we actually get funds back from the state in the same term where we're actually doing the work. So in essence, the bond note from Council Grandy is for, I believe, a total of $6.8 million. And Brian has the document tonight for you to look at in terms of the details on the bond council's document. Happy to answer any questions.
Superintendent, so if this council were to approve the $6.855 million in these bonds, do you have a specific plan? So let me back up. When we approved the drawdown the first time.
The 6.2 last year.
Right. What we had required was a plan. We had required documents showing exactly what you plan to do, the cost of each, an Excel spreadsheet, in a manner of speaking. And that provided us with what you wanted to do, what the repairs were. They were actually prioritized, I believe.
Right, actually looks like this. We have it again tonight. If you want more copies, I have them with me if you'd like them again.
Sure.
While that's being passed out, as the councilman stated, we did detail out exactly what would be done and when it would be done. That's color-coded. You can see different shades of green. We notated what was done last summer in terms of roofs, ADA, and what's being done next summer. And also on the school website, we have detail on minutes of the building committee and actual bids that go out and all of that detail for the public to look at. So once again, happy to answer any questions. We can see the dark green, I believe, is the color for next summer, 2021. You can see different projects by building. I believe Cedar Hill has some ADA, and by ADA, we're talking about things like bathrooms being changed from the 1950s configuration to 2019. We're talking about doorway enlargements. Asbestos, we still have asbestos. While it's safe and encapsulated, you can have it in the ceiling, you can have it in the floors. So there's work being done in the schools next year for some of those projects. And as we talked about last month, playgrounds. Our playgrounds are not ADA accessible. So in this plan, as you know, we would make playgrounds accessible for all students. So I believe we have 7 on the list for next summer.
And is there anything in this plan, this production schedule, figured for Pilgrim?
No, right now, if you look on page 1, we notated we're not doing any work on the high schools until we consider the other question of where the high school conversation may go. So right now, we are not doing any work on the high schools until that time.
When you say the conversation of the school, this is the conversation with respect to the possibility of building a new high school?
Correct. Okay. Until we answer that question, we thought it prudent not to invest any more funds in the high schools so we can have that conversation.
And until such time as that conversation took place, what was the monies that were considered or discussed as far as Pilgrim School is concerned?
Right. Rough numbers, I want to say around $8, $9 million for HVAC that's on the sheet, in one of those years on the sheet there. Right now, HVAC at Pilgrim is a need, but we wouldn't want to invest those funds in Pilgrim if we weren't going to keep Pilgrim viable. Having said that, if you do choose to build a new Pilgrim, if you will, we would simply shift those funds to Winman. Winman has our newest HVAC system, circa 1972, and it did fail this past year, and we had to put a patch on it. This is happening right now as we speak, actually, for $150,000. So we would simply shift those funds to Winman if we didn't build the or keep Pilgrim viable.
So your request to this committee is for an approval of the second drawdown, I believe it is, right, on the $40 million bond that was approved by the voters.
That is correct. It's the second drawdown, $6,854,403, I believe.
And you also have, which I know you can provide if you have not provided. The current update for the monies that were allocated on the initial drawdown for your projected works.
Yeah, I can take you
completed,
through
that. Completed, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, this past summer, just a quick overview once again for the group. We did fire alarms at Tollgate, Oakland Beach, and Scott. Abatement projects were completed at Scott, Cedar Hill, Oakland Beach. ADA, one job completed at Cedar Hill. Roofs at Sherman and Tollgate. Projects still in process, finalizing the fire alarm upgrades at Warwick Neck and Robertson. Playgrounds to be completed in the spring at Warwick Neck and Lippitt, and door hardware is an ongoing project throughout the next couple of years. The hardware right now is not ADA compliant and not really up to snuff.
And as we are here today, are you on time and on budget, or
we're actually
is this something different?
On time and a little under budget, as we mentioned last month.
Okay. Any questions from Councilman McAllister?
Thank you, Superintendent. And as you mentioned, that this $6.8 million, this is the second drawdown from the $40 million bond that the voters approved.
Correct.
I want to say that when you came before the council asking for that $40 million, you said that you would outline what each expense was going to be. You were going to give us, we're going to do these projects with this first part of the funding, and then we're going to come back to you again after we show you what we've done, and we're going to ask for the additional funding to be released, a second drawdown, if you will. I believe you have done that. You've come before us. You have outlined what you're doing. I'm very confident that you will continue to do that, and that's why I will be supporting the release of these funds today. And I thank you, and I look forward to continuing to working down this path and addressing these much-needed improvements for our schools.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ho. Any questions from members of the council?
Yes.
Council President.
You had given us a spreadsheet tonight, and I'm assuming that that has the calculations on it as far as how much we're going to be expected to pay each year towards the principal and interest of the bonds.
I don't have that on this spreadsheet. I know Brian has the work from bond counsel. I'm not sure if that would be part of that calculation.
If you could go over that with us, Brian. How much has been released to date before this $9 million on the $40
million? Roughly 5.5 million. I think it was 5,455,000, I believe.
Okay. And they're asking for a little over 9, but they're going to get reimbursed.
Correct.
So we still have to release that 9?
The total draw will be 9, but what we're actually issuing is the 6.8. And then the state will be funding the rest via the cash advance.
Okay. And so that would put us a little over 10 million.
That we're going to have for funds for these projects, yes.
To date. And what would be the annual payment on that principal and interest?
So similar to the first drawdown, I don't know if you recall, but similar to the first drawdown, it was the recommendation to do interest only for the first year. So as it stands right now, our principal and interest payments for our debt service for FY21 will be $6,160,000 roughly. We have a significant drop off in fiscal year 22, very significant. So the recommendation would be to go to an interest only for the first year, FY21. So that'd be interest payments of approximately, until we issue the debt, we don't know the rate, but approximately $270,000. So we'd have principal and interest payments in 21 of about $6.4 million. Once we go online with principal and interest in FY22, the payments would be on average $510,000 a year, and in FY22 our debt service would drop to $5,780,000 because we have retiring debt in FY22.
And we're expecting releases of up
Correct.
To $40 million.
Correct.
And what's the calculation on the principal and interest payments on those?
They're not being. I don't know what the next issue is going to be at this time.
So you're saying $510,000 for principal and interest
yes.
on about $10 million.
Well, we're paying principal and interest on the 6.8. the state is covering the rest.
And then the five that
we're already paying. That's already right. Layered into our budget.
Is that five and that six included in the 510?
That's correct.
So that's what I was saying. So you're looking at once the total issuance is out there, you're looking, and the school department has exhausted the $40 million with reimbursements, we should be someplace around $2 million a year.
Yes. For this, yes.
For this bond issuance?
Yes.
And we can raise about $8.3 million a year with a maximum tax increase?
Ballparking it, yes.
Correct. And our structural deficit going into next year is $3.5 million?
Firm. 2.4. Our use of fund balance in FY20 is $2,441,000.
So when we went into this year and we amended our budget to give more funds to the school department, I thought it was represented that we'd be about $3.5 million short when we got to next year.
I believe within the initial proposed budget for 20, use of fund balance was over $3 million. I don't know if it was quite 3.5, but through the budget adoption process, it's been reduced to 2.4.
3.4?
2.4.
And what I'm saying is we made an additional amendment after that with regard to schools.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Right. Yes. So what is that number after that revision as far as a structural deficit goes?
The additional,
Sure. We gave the school department additional funds, which increased our, the testimony was it's going to increase our structural deficit for next year. And I thought that the total number was around 3.5, but I might be wrong. That's why I was asking you.
Our use of fund balance right now in FY20 is $2,441,000.
So our structural deficit for this year at the present time, $2.4 million.
Going into next year, yes.
Okay. So if we subtract that out, we're at nine. So we'll be able to raise not the $8.3 million that we needed, but more along the lines of $6 million. And the reason that I point that out is, what is the estimate? So for next, well, I'm trying to figure out all the numbers we're looking at tonight, which is probably an unfair thing to do, because we do have to pass a budget in a few months. And what is our rainy day fund? I mean, I know there was testimony in March it was 13 or 14 million. What is it today? What's our rainy day fund today?
Per the city's most recent audit, $22,671,446.
22 million?
Yes, 671,000. 446.
Thank you. And I just had a question for the superintendent, Mr. Thornton. Phil, I know from speaking with you, Pilgrim was the problem, I guess, if you will, as far as repairs go and as far as accreditation goes and the cost of to bring that building up to speed so we're not in danger of losing accreditation. And there was some scale they gave us.
Right. RIDE, a couple years back, had a study of all the schools in Rhode Island called the Jacobs Report. And they have a number. A low number is good, a high number is bad. A number, 65 or over, and your building is essentially totaled. It's beyond. Pilgrim's a 59. Tollgate was around 29. So Pilgrim... it's very close to being, at the point of not being fixed or repaired.
And when's the last time we did build a new building?
I'm sorry?
When's the last time we built a new school building?
A new building? 1972 is our newest building.
That's for schools. Because they know since I've been here, we've had new fire departments in 2010, 2000, 1990, and 1980. But no new schools. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent. Chairwoman Backus, anything? Okay.
You were talking about it. Our OPEB currently for medical and all is under $27 million.
Unfunded?
Under $27
million? Under $27 million unfunded on our OPEB.
So, just to be clear, your unfunded liability on OPEB is $27 million, and you don't, and the teachers don't have lifetime health care?
No.
Thank you.
No, and
you
have on the same as state employees.
How many employees do you have?
We have 1,300, 1,400.
Interesting. Okay, thank
with
you.
With everybody. We have about 900 right. teachers.
900 teachers. Okay, thank you. Any other comments, questions from members of the public? Do we have any comments or questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes, and now we are adjourned, and it is 11:03.
I call the Ordinance Committee at 11:05. First up is acceptance of the minutes, December 2nd. Do I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
Moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. One item is PCO 18-15, an ordinance regarding to the trash collection of large items and heavy pickups. This is for second passage. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move favorable action.
All right, I will take that, and I will actually make the motion of favorable action for second amendment. Do I have any comments from members of the committee? Any members of the council? Any members of the public would like to speak on an ordinance regarding the trash collection of large items and heavy pickups? This is for second passage. If not, do I have a second to the motion for favorable action?
So moved. Second.
Moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. That closes the Ordinance Committee at 11:06.
Thank you.
Cheap one, so.
Public Safety Committee will convene at 11:08. First item of business, acceptance of minutes from the December 2nd, 2019 committee meeting.
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item of business, PCO-25-19, ordinance in regards to no parking between signs either side be erected from the southeast corner of Cador and Greenwich until shortly after poll number one. This is for me, actually. I'd like to hold this until January 6th so I can convene with the solicitor about some language.
Seconded.
You held until, what'd you say?
So we have a motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And then we have PCR 190-19, resolution relative to claims, the Regusta claim. We discussed this at the last meeting. Did we have notice go out? We did have notice go out. Is Mr. or Mrs. Regusta here? Is Mr. or Mrs. Regusta here regarding a claim?
Mr. Chairman, understanding the situation and the extended time of the committee this morning, this evening, I have no problem holding this until the next meeting.
It seems more than fair. We have a motion.
Motion to hold PCR 1620. Is that, am I right? Oh, I apologize. Withdrawn. Motion to hold PCR 190-19 till January 6th meeting.
Second.
Not to rain on your parade, but given that this meeting is likely going to run over, mm-hmm. and that means our next meeting will be a double, we might be better off holding this to the subsequent January meeting. That way, the claimant's not in the same situation they would have been in tonight.
Motion withdrawn.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. We can't hear you over here.
He said the meeting, this one went late, so that means we're going to probably double up on the next meeting, so I'm just going to hold it until the second meeting of January. Motion to hold PCR 190-19 till second meeting of January.
Second.
Do you have a date for that? All right, so motion made and seconded to hold this until January 22nd. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that concludes public safety at 11:10.
He's just boycotting it.
Okay, this is the Intergovernmental Committee agenda for December 16th, beginning at 11:11 p.m. The first item on the agenda is the acceptance of the minutes from the meeting held on December 2nd, 2019.
Motion for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The second item, well, the only other item on the agenda is PCR 180-19, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting a waiver / exemption to ride regulation requirements. It's not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Per request of the sponsor, hold PCR 180-19 till January 2nd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The committee ends at 11:12.